First Peter, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spotless, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for being that lamb without blemish and spotless. We thank you, Father God, for manifesting yourself in these last days for us. And we thank you, Father God, for the church that you shed your blood for. And we thank you, Father God, for preachers and pastors who preach the word of God clear and with boldness. And we thank you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good behavior as respectful children. How about that? Good behavior as respectful children. I'm getting my age, and I graduated in 75, and 1975. And a good year. I don't remember 877 fights in the public schools. I just don't remember 877 fights. Matter of fact, I had three friends that we went through high school together. We walked to school together every single day. And I don't remember. I know personally for me, I never was in a fight in high school or middle school. I never was. I never remember them fighting. I never remember seeing fights in school, maybe one or two. That's just a different time. My dad didn't have to really tell me personally, you get in trouble in school. Don't get in trouble in school, because it was embedded in me that bad things would happen if I got in trouble in school. Okay? When I look at what's going on with our children, God calls us his children. That's what God calls us. He calls us his children. And he uses verse 14 in an interesting way. This is Peter talking now. Y'all remember who's writing this. This is Peter, who denied the Lord three times, who took his eyes off the Lord when he was walking on water. Okay? And this is the same Peter that God personally, in the person of Jesus, had to pray for. Jesus had to tell Peter personally, specifically, I pray for you.
Amen.
Because Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Meaning Satan wanted to destroy you. Satan wanted to destroy Peter. And now Peter is writing verse 14. Let me just read it, because this is Peter, and this is a transformed, spirit-filled Peter. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. That's Peter. Who's really saying who he was prior to his great transformation. Peter had a lot of lusts. Peter had a lot of ignorance he had to deal with. And what he's saying is, as obedient children, there's a behavior that comes with our salvation. Okay? Now, when I think of what they wrote in the newspaper about the 877 fights, and then when I think about the mass shooting over in Liberty or Northside, wherever that's at, when I think of that and I see the clergy speaking about it, I'm troubled. Okay? Because what we know as people of God, and I believe it's important that we pray for them. Okay? But the prayer should be that they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. The prayer should be that God would use this situation to open up their eyes and their hearts to their need for a Savior, a relationship with God. Outside of that, there's nothing else to say, because these folks are doing what these folks do.
Amen.
Sinners doing what sinners do. And if it had not been for the Lord, any of us could have been in that place. Okay? If it had not been for the Lord, could have been us shooting. Okay? If it had not been for the Lord, we'd still be drinking and smoking and cussing and ripping and running and doing whatever we big and bad enough to do. So the problem is not with the people. Okay? They doing what they do. They doing what they do. Listen. In foster care, they said by the time a child is 5, he's already set up. Who he is at 5, it's going to be hard to undo. Okay? Look at Proverbs 19:18. And I'm going to talk about obedient children. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to stay on here long. Because many of us old folks in here know about this. Proverbs 19:18. Now, many of us know Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know that one. Okay? How many ever heard 19:18 Proverbs? Chasten thy son while there is hope. Let me finish it. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't worry about him crying. Don't worry about him saying, you know, God, we got too many parents that's buddy buddies. Don't spare the discipline. Okay? Don't spare the discipline. Listen, here's a message to fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? Teach them about the things of God. Teach them about being a man. Teach them about their need for a Savior and Lord. Talked to a kid yesterday on visitation. He was with his mother, and his mother's like, pleading with me, you know, Chaplain, can you get him to come to church? And he told his mother straight up, I'm an atheist. He said, I'm an atheist. And we raise in our generation of young people that are atheists.
Amen.
Atheists. Christianity is mocked. No more mocked so much as in the African-American community anymore. Our young men don't want nothing to do with white Jesus. And then we sit back and dare call the preachers whenever there's a tragedy. When we run and the preachers run, they like ambulance chasers. They run and they want to be the first ones there so they can say, well, you know, we got to work with the police department. You can work with the police department all you want. Okay? Because the police already know what kind of kids on the streets. Godless kids who don't care about life, don't care about the life of anybody else, don't care about nothing. And like I said, they'll rob the place that's hiring. So Peter is saying, we as Christians need to be obedient. Not fashioning yourself after the former lust in your ignorance. What's he talking about? What's Peter talking about? What's it mean to be obedient? What's it mean to be obedient? It's a word we don't even like to talk about in church no more. Okay? We don't like to talk about being obedient. Let me give you a verse, if I can find it. Obedient folks. Obedience is a major theme in the Bible. You can't be a Christian without being obedient. Amen. Okay? Matter of fact, I don't know nobody that's obedient to the things of God that's going through. David said, I've been old, or I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen a righteous forsaken or the seabed and bread. You talk to someone who's struggling, who's constantly going through, fighting and fussing all the time, you know what the major problem is? They're not obedient. They're not obedient. Name you somebody that you know that's obedient to the scripture, that love the Lord, that's struggling and going through. Anybody? You don't know nobody. Know why? Because I got the scriptures in front of me. Amen. Okay? Isaiah said this, if ye be willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That's scripture. Because a disobedient person ain't going to be able to keep a job because somebody's going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Disobedient person going to be a rebel riser in the family because he's not going to listen to the father or the mother. And then if you ain't listening to the father or the mother, guess you ain't going to listen to the police when they pull you over. You ain't going to listen to your boss. You're not going to. Let me give you another verse about it. Let's see. Because disobedient folks need the word of God. Amen. How do I know? I'm not disobedient. Amen. Paul telling Timothy. And when I tell you, say, when I say Timothy, or you hear me say Timothy or Titus, these are what they call the pastoral epistles. Paul was telling Timothy, preach this. Preach this. Okay? There's no health, wealth, and prosperity found in 1st, 2nd Timothy. Okay? Guys, we hear a lot of that. And God wants you rich and healthy. God don't want you rich and healthy. God wants you obedient.
Amen.
Okay? He says, 1 Timothy 1:9 says, he said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers. This is what the preachers will be saying when they run into these mass killings and shootings. Oh, take away the guns. You can take away all the guns in the world. I guarantee you. Nobody's shooting them folks down on Youngstown with guns they bought from Fin, Fur, and Feather, or whatever it's called.
Amen.
Okay? Ain't nobody robbing stores with registered guns. Okay? Watch this. Your being obedient is proof. It's proof that you're saved. People say, I'm saved. I don't care what you say. Amen. I don't care. You can tell me anything, Jack. I don't care what you say. Okay? I'm like the deaf and dumb man. You know, he's sitting there. He deaf and dumb. He can't talk. He can't hear. And the man came over and handed him a track. He said, I don't need a track. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch you. See, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 2 and 9, he said, for this end also I write. Watch this. That I might know the proof of you. How's Paul going to find out? Watch. Whether ye be obedient in all things. Talk is cheap when it comes to Christianity. Okay? Paul writing this about Jesus. Jesus had to be obedient. How many of y'all? Jesus had to be obedient, Matthew. Okay? And he says, being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death on the cross. Jesus had to become obedient. So if the God that we love and the God that we serve and the God that saved us with his precious blood had to be obedient, how can we not be obedient? I don't think the church is full of disobedient folks. It's full of disobedience. Because when God saves you, he got to work for you. He got something for you to do. When God saved Paul, and Paul's life was never the same. Paul on his way to Damascus, down to Damascus to kill some Christians and to destroy Christians. Watch what he told King Agrippa. He was in court. And he said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Because Paul had a job to do when God saved him. And one of the things you have to do, if God has saved you, if he's covered you in his blood and he's delivered you, find something to do. Find something to do. Simple thing. Listen, you just go to Margaret or go to Deacon Jerry and say, listen, I heard what the Reverend's saying. Is there anything I can do? Okay? Is there anything I can do? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, now I look at words and I go word by word by word by word, and I think former lust. Former lust. Anybody here, you know, when I say that, you kind of, your heart kind of sink, because, you know, all of us ought to be ashamed of who we were before we got saved. I mean, there ought to be a sense of shame. And you know what? And there ought to be some pictures of people that you hurt come to your mind and some things you said. You know, you might have some people that's gone on. I'm not one of them preachers to say gone on to be with the Lord, because I don't believe everybody gone on to be with the Lord. But I'll just say gone on. I don't want to cheapen heaven by saying everybody gone. Okay, because I just think people cheapen heaven. When I hear folks dying, famous folks may die, and they say, well, you know, they in heaven. Well, you know, I just got to be careful with that, because if everybody going to heaven, then I don't have nothing to preach about. I really don't have nothing. There's nothing for me to preach about. Everybody in heaven, if you know, all you got to do is die to go to heaven. Why am I up here preaching? Amen. Sweating, got this tight thing on around my neck. Y'all don't pay me. I'm up here preaching for free, and everybody going to heaven. I might as well just... I'm out here, pick up them golf clubs. I can go to heaven. Right from the golf course. Listen. All of us got some former stuff.
Amen.
Some of us got some former wives. What Peter's saying, he says, not fashion yourself according to your former love. You're not going to spend time with anything that's former. Okay? If you sell somebody a car, say I sell somebody a car, I sold a guy the car, and I see that guy, and it's not my car no more. I don't have no rights to that car, because it's a former car. Okay? See, if you got a former wife or a former husband, and that former wife or former husband is with their new husband, you can't walk up to them and do things that y'all did in the former. That makes sense, Kier. Like, that was my former husband. And you walk over there and try to give him a kiss, she gonna say, you said former, and something bad might happen. Okay? You ain't gonna show up at a former job and just, I just wanna work for a day. Because I used to work here, I know how to do, you ain't gotta pay me or nothing, I just wanna. See, we don't do that kind of thing. Former being former, we don't wanna have nothing to do with it. It's over with. Okay? Now, look at with me. This is one of my favorite verses. I say that a lot about a lot of verses, but this one really, really is. Titus chapter 3, because it's all of us. I almost said it's me, but I don't want to say that. It's all of us. If you're saved, it's you. If you're not saved, it's you. Okay? It's you. See, the word of God is so wonderful to me. Because if you're saved, it's you. And if you're not saved, it's you. Okay? Paul writing to Titus. And again, this is a pastoral letter to the churches on how the church ought to be run, what needs to be preached. Okay? Now watch what Paul starts it off, because you see it's a pastoral letter. A lot of folks don't want to talk about this stuff no more because folks don't like it. You know, you thin the crowd out, you know? You know, we got to get Kanye West up in here and get him all fired up and give him new Jay-Z shoes or Jeezy shoes. What's it? How you say that? Jeezy's $300 pair of tennis shoes. Jeezy's. Now, watch what Paul says to Timothy. He's saying this because this needs to be preached. He says, Titus chapter 3. He says, Timothy, or Titus, when you're preaching in your church, I know they ain't gonna want to hear, but it ain't about them. You're trying to save souls, you're not trying to comfort sinners. Amen. Okay? He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We gotta be obedient. Okay? And to elected officials, whether we like them or not. But let's move on for that. And I don't want to talk about politics. I'm not political like that. Amen. He says, to speak evil of no man. Now let me stop there, because this was us. This is us in the past. This ain't us no more. Okay? Lance, this ain't us no more. We ain't speaking evil about nobody no more. We save folks, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? First of all, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. With all the religious platitudes, we know them all. Put your finger up when you gotta go out to church. Okay. He says this, for we ourselves. You see why I like Paul so much? Because Paul don't do the I stuff and the you stuff. Paul says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, as our word, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Let me stop there. Did Paul get everybody? This is before 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But before all things became new, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, did foolish things. Anybody ever done some foolish things? Anybody ever been here disobedient? Amen. Oh, yeah. Deceived. Who's the deceiver? Yeah. Satan. Satan had us deceived. Mm-hmm. He had us thinking, if we kept following this road, we was going to end up in a better place. He had us believing when we was out there deceived and foolish and disobedient. We didn't believe in no heaven or hell. We didn't care. We just did whatever we wanted to do. Let's lead to the second one. Serving divers lusts, different lusts. What's a lust? What's a lust? It's an inordinate affection for something that's not good, put like that. It's wanting to do something that you know if you do it, God ain't getting no glory out of it. Okay? And it can be powerful. And it can be strong. And all of us understand that. I don't want you to have to talk about it no more. Serving divers lusts and pleasures. Doing whatever we wanted to do. Living in malice. How about that? Living in malice. Margaret and I, in Sunday school, we talked about this morning. Living in malice. We stayed angry. How many of us could stay angry for a long time before we got saved? I'm talking about before we got saved. Now, if you can still stay angry for a long time, you might want to ask God to help you with that.
Amen.
Okay? Because here's a verse that let the sun go down on your wrath. So you can stay angry at somebody for a long time. Somebody say, staying angry at somebody for a long time is like you eating poison and hoping they die.
Amen.
What'd you say, killing me softly? Now, how many of you know folks living in malice? Every time you talk to them, they angry. Living in malice and envy and hateful. Man. I'm painting a picture here. Paul's painting a wonderful picture here of how we were in the flesh. Because the flesh is all this. And if you find yourself there, then you got to go, God, I'm in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And I can't stay here because this is not healthy. This is not healthy. Living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Here we go, Ann. But, this is a good one here. This is a good one here, boy. You got to have this butt in your life. You got to have this butt in your life. You got to have this butt. If you a Christian, if you a man of God, you got to have this butt in your life. This is one of the most important butts in the Bible. But, after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. How about that? How did he appear? Calvary cross. He showed you what love was. There he is, hanging on a cross, but nails in his hands and feet, and throwing a cross, crown of thorns on his head, and he's showing us love. And he said, after the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. How did he appear? We understood who God was. When we were taught who Jesus was, when we were taught what it means to be a child of God, what it means to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's when he appeared. He didn't see. Some of us thought we were saved. We were still living in malice and angry and hateful. We was bitter and living in malice. Because we going to church don't mean he appeared. Showing up at church don't mean he's appeared. Because there's a long time I was going to church, and if I'd have died, I'd have died and went to hell from church. Okay? See, this is why it's important that we keep preaching. Because he may show up. And you may be sitting here or listening to the sermon audio and think you okay because you go to church. But God hadn't appeared. God has not appeared yet. And Paul, that's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preacher, you don't know who's hearing it or not. Amen. You don't know who's saved or not. You have a civic duty to preach the word.
Amen.
Now you have an understanding. Watch this now. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing and the regeneration the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how you're saved. You're saved by hearing the word. The word cleanses you and prepares you to receive the Spirit of God. We have these big arguments that I'm not gonna go any further with that. Turn with me again to our text. Verse 15. I hit two verses a day. He says, But as he which have called you, okay? But as he who have called you is holy. Who called you? God called you. I didn't call you. God called you. And now when you start talking about holy, what's that mean? What comes to mind when we start talking about holy and the holiness of God? Let me explain it this way. Hopefully we can get an understanding of it. The word holy means to be sanctified. The word sanctified means to be what? Set apart. So the word holy means to be sanctified and to be set apart and have a life that is what? Dedicated to God. Okay? Being holy don't mean you walking around with no lipstick on, wearing dresses all the time down to your knees or down to your ankles. And you never have a bad day, and you just holy, holy, holy all the time. And somebody asks you, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. That's not what it means to be holy.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It means to be holy means you've been set apart. God's taking you out of the lump of the muck and the mire and put you in a different place, like a tree. Planted. Where? By the rivers of water. So to be holy means you've been set apart for God. To be set apart for God. So now, with that said, we can look at this scripture a lot different. Peter says, because it is written. Okay? Why does Peter say because it's written? Because he didn't want your faith. Just like Paul said, I don't want your faith standing on me. I want to tell you what the scripture says. And I'm going to base everything I teach you on the scripture. Not on my own life experiences and different things. Because my own life experiences, you don't want to hear about, because there's no power in them. There's no saving grace in them. How about that? Good word. He said, because it is written, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy.
Amen.
Okay? God's looking for his people to be holy. Look at this verse in Ephesians 5:25. We're familiar with it. I went over it many times. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's some serious love there. Okay? You know y'all not even getting married if you don't understand that verse. Because if you don't understand that verse, it's gonna be rough. Husbands. Why? Verse 26. That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. That's the key. Sanctify, set apart. Okay? Verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Why? That it should be holy. Church ought to be holy. Church ought to be holy. How does a church get holy? Preaching of the word. Preaching of the word. And you get a great understanding of the word. That you get a good understanding of the word. So when Peter says, be you holy or be you obedient, he's not stretching too far. Y'all expect me to be obedient. Y'all expect me to be here every Sunday. Y'all expect me to be here every Wednesday. And y'all expect me to be here every funeral. Y'all expect me to be here. That's just what we sign up for as preachers. Okay? That's God's expectation. We said it earlier. If any man who desires to be a pastor, bishop, elder, he desires a good work. You're going to put your work in. Okay? This ain't for Johnny come latelys. And like I say, preachers is falling off. Preachers is just quitting, you know? When the money go down, the money start going down, and they start looking. They get on Indeed.
Oh, man.
Get on Indeed and punch in pastor. Because they looking. And you got to hang in there because it's a work. Amen. And like any company, you may have some downtime.
Amen.
I like this verse because Paul writes it. He says, about our conduct, about being holy. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, or you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word?
Holy.
Holy. That word holy, again, don't mean you walking around here and you can't laugh, you can't cry, you can't talk, you can't watch a movie, you can't. That's not what it means. It means you set apart under God, meaning the things that you do and the things that you watch and the place that you go and the people that you associate with is not going to cause you not to be able to give God glory.
Yes.
You want to stay away from situations where God's holiness is compromised. Did I say that right? Does that make sense? In light of the text, let's read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, people of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. You ever wonder why, if you hear a preacher, you hear something bad happen with a preacher, you know, he getting caught up in a situation, adultery or drunkenness. It's just something in us like, man, why? He's supposed to be a preacher. He's supposed to be a pastor. And the standards are so high for the pastor. You know, I was in in-service this week. And y'all know I talk about in-service. It's an 8-hour training we have to do. And I got to be in there with all these folks. And again, for 8 hours, I hear people say, sorry, chap, sorry, chap, sorry, chap. And by the end of the day, I thought I was the sorriest person in the world, you know? I mean, that's all I heard, sorry, chap. Because, you know, and then they just the language is so foul, you know? But one thing happened. There's a guy, him and I, we talk all the time. He's a Christian, says he's a Christian. And he says something that, and y'all know I think about stuff. And the people was cussing and swearing, doing what they do. And I've been doing corrections for 30 years. It don't bother me like that. You know, I'm not God. You know, they cussing and swearing. It just helps me identify who in the room.
Amen.
It reminds me that you better be on your P's and Q's in here. But he's a man of God, and he's really a man of God. Talks to me about things of God all the time. But the people in the room is cussing. And he points to the people and says, that chaplain's over there. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's wrong with that picture? I'm the only one being offended, you man of God. So I just thought about that. I was like, man, that's different. That's different. You not being bothered by this, only me. Okay, so how do we get this holiness? How do we get this holiness? How do we become holy? Anybody ever thought about that? How do we become holy? Or how do we become obedient? And that should be our desire. That should be our desire. We should want to be obedient. And I'm going to close with this. We ought to want to be obedient.
Amen.
Now I'm going to close with this, but this is a long verse. Okay? And I know when I'm preaching too long. Believe me, y'all may not think I do, but I do. Philippians 4:8. I think somebody, one of the ministers here, spoke on this a while ago. I think it was Jacob. Come to mind. I could look it up, but Philippians 4:8. Now, in Philippians 4:8, Paul has just gave a teaching on spiritual stability. And all of us ought to want to be stable. We want our finances stable. We want our home stable. We do. We want stability in our life. But you ought to want stability in your spiritual life, too. Matter of fact, I believe it starts there. I believe most of the problems that people have in their families is because their priorities is wrong. And we learned that this morning in Sunday school. This is why I think it's important for folks to come to Sunday school. Because Jesus was saying, if you put anything before me, he said, don't put father or mother or wife or... He gave an order. Okay? But we put everything in front of Jesus and we wonder why we don't have no peace in our homes. But Paul said you ought to want peace in your spiritual life. I know I do. I want to have a peaceful spiritual life. Then he says, here's how you do it. Philippians 4:8. He said, you want peace in your spiritual life. He said, finally, brethren, people of God, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. Okay? Whatsoever things are true. Facts. The word of God is true. And the word of God is factual. You can't find no wrong in it. So that should be the start of your spiritual stability. It should be based on the facts of the scripture. Number one, whatsoever things are true. God is true. Okay? God is true. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is true. Now you talk to me long enough. I'm going to put a word on it. I'm not going to give you no advice without putting a word on it. Okay? I was talking to a lady in class. And she rattling off because her job, and she's a woman of God. Oh, I'm a woman of God. I'm a woman of God. I work VBS. I worked at Wana Club. I was big in the church. And now she got problems at work because her bosses is giving her the blues. And she do good work. She do good work. She do good ministry with these kids. And she talked to these kids and she helped. She got a love for black kids. And I try to put scripture on it. And she ain't trying to hear it. Cussed a couple times. And she goes, sorry, Chad. I told you I thought when I left there, I was sorry. And I kept trying to put scripture on it. She's like, they coming at me. I'm looking for another job. I'm going to quit. I said, listen. Try to go, all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. Ah, she ain't want to hear. Bah, 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 bah. You're going to go through trying to do the right thing.
Amen.
If you're trying to do what's right and what's honest and what's true in a fallen world, you got opposition. Yeah. Y'all know that because I talk about that all the time. But a lot of people don't know that. And we just tuck our tail and run. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, or just, meaning this, whatsoever thing conforms to the word of God. Whatsoever things, listen, I don't care how you feel about it. Jeremy can give me 900 excuses. I'm divorcing Vaughn. She burnt the toast for the 10th day in a row. Husbands, love your wife like God loved the church. Amen. And he died for it. Huh? See, you ain't getting away from it. You ain't getting, you know, I'm going to put some scripture on it. Now your argument ain't with Vaughn no more or with me. It's with scripture. See? And you're going to lose that battle. Man of God, woman of God, you always going to lose that battle if the judge is God. You know, you can, you know, throw out the red flag. I want to review that. Well, hear what the scriptures say. You just lost another timeout. You out. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, right. Whatsoever things, here we go, here's one. Whatsoever things are pure. What's he talking about? Things that are pure, free from defilement and corruption. We don't want all that in our lives. If you try to get us to build a stable spiritual life, you want to make sure the things that you spend your time with and your resources on are pure and just and honest. Here's another one. Lovely. Lovely. You know, we think about Stevie Wonder. Isn't she lovely? You know? You just want to make sure that the things that you love and the things that you embrace as a child of God are lovely. You don't want anything unlovely around your kids. I can look at Jake, he got his babies over there. Listen, you ain't coming over his house cussing and swearing and drinking and smoking cigarettes. You ain't doing that.
Amen.
That's just not happening. Okay? And it shouldn't happen at all in the households of faith. Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. Lovely. Keep some lovely stuff around you. Your friends ought to be lovely. People you talk to ought to be lovely. And then you know what happens when you live like that? Lovely and lonely. There's only a couple words that separate the two.
Amen.
Okay? Because there ain't a whole lot lovely in this world. But as a believer, we ought to seek these things of good report. How about that? Of good report. I don't hang out with a lot of people. They ain't a good report. I said it this morning. I heard somebody say a rich politician is a crook. I read that somewhere and I'm like, that makes so much sense. A rich politician is a crook. And then I spiritualized it. And I say a rich preacher is a crook.
Amen.
See, Claire got that laugh because it makes sense. A rich preacher is a crook. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, no, you just mad because you broke. I ain't broke, but I ain't rich. What do I mean? Jake know what I mean. Because me and him talk about this stuff. If everybody that preached the gospel and wrote it, died, and was killed, had their heads cut off, sawn in half. How you making money? Preaching the same thing that got Jesus crucified. Evelyn, that makes sense a little bit. How are you making millions of dollars preaching the same gospel that everybody who preached it in Jesus' day died? See, you see what I'm saying? I can't process it. Now, I'm not saying you ought to be a pauper, okay? But you can't show me how you preaching this Bible. At least the one I got. Maybe I got a different one. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are good report. Whatsoever things are virtue. How about that? I'm almost done. Y'all know what that word virtue mean? Okay? If there be any virtue, that's what Paul says. Virtue means moral excellence. Moral excellence. Meaning because you have had a heart change. Okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You got a heart change. There's got to be a moral change in you. Okay? Okay, y'all understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense? Okay. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's been a moral change. Nobody's morals is the same. My morals ain't the same as they was when I was unsaved. I'm just going to tell y'all. Okay. And I'm not going to go into all that. Y'all going to have to get on, pay $35 and find out all about my past. They got it online now. You can find out all you want about somebody. You know, some stuff don't show up. I'm like, oh, please don't. I'm like, please don't let that show up. Because I was moral. I had some moral issues when I was unsaved. It didn't matter. Some things I didn't care about. I'll just be transparent. I ain't always had it together. And I didn't get it together until God gave me a new heart. And I still struggle with the new heart.
Amen.
Okay? So if there be any virtue, I want to hang around some virtuous people. We talk about the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? The writer didn't say that because it was an easy thing. It's a hard thing. Okay? Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous man? Who can find a virtuous kid?
Yes, yes.
And if there be any praise, I'm closing. If there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, we got something to shout about. We got something to praise about. We got something to praise God about. Because God has saved us. And he's gave us the ability to live good and just and honest and lovely lives. And I thank God for it. I didn't say perfect. Precious Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Boy, the world needs to hear a word of God. The world needs to hear what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a man or woman of God. Father God, we ask right now that you would just strengthen us. Build us up, Father God, where we need to be built us up. We hear the scriptures, Father God, and they resonate with us. They identify our weaknesses and our strengths. And we don't need prayer for all our strengths, Father God, but we need to be, you just lift us up where we're weak at, where we battle and where we fight, Father God, because we know the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. And we ask that you come beside us, Father God, and keep us and keep giving us the ability to press on, to press on. Father, thank you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen.